balanced and whole mental impressions bring about the expansion and deepening of the mind, while mental impressions that lack the necessary wholeness and balance are simply expelled from the mind as waste in much the same manner as your body uses the food you eat that can nourish and expels the waste. The law of octaves is an embedded checksum that tests each impression and thought. Spiritual osmosis and the narrow gate. Why can the few understand what the multitude of people cannot? If it is true that Jesus was a man, just like all other men, why could he understand what others could not? If higher spiritual knowledge, which is often portrayed as gnosis, cannot be received or understood equally by everyone, what enables the few to receive and understand what others cannot? And what enabled Jesus to be able to connect with the divine mind and communicate directly with God? As confirmed by the statement of Nikola Tesla, every thought and impression is carried into and through the mind on cognitive bioenergy that can be measured by an EKG or EEG machine. And this cognitive bioenergy has a frequency and vibration that is, in the same way that the nourishment of the cells of our body is controlled by an osmosis system that only allows what the cells need to pass through, the mind of man functions in a similar manner. Food and nourishment exists on the mental and spiritual level, as well as the physical level. When the original Ebionite Nazarene followers of Jesus witnessed to the fact that Jesus taught them to fulfill the law within themselves in order to achieve the anointing, Messiah/Christ, of the mind, see thoughts can be likened to a formula balanced and whole mental impressions, bring about the expansion and deepening of the mind beyond organic male/female levels of consciousness, while mental impressions that lack the necessary wholeness and balance are simply expelled from the mind as waste in much the same manner as your body uses the food you eat that can nourish and expel the waste. What the gospel teachings portray as the, when Paul wrote, the consciousness of organic man is immature and undeveloped because its development is grounded in the vibratory frequencies of the lower three earthly kingdoms, which is exactly why Paul profoundly stated to the very people who he had personally taught the gospel message. What Jesus stated is that if you don't understand the parable of the sower and the seed, that you will not understand any parable, and the real truth of his words remain a great enigma to the mind of modern man. Why? Because if you fail to understand the parable of the sower and the seed, then you can never evolve or advance your mind and thinking beyond the carnal level of organic consciousness. And this is true if you are a scientist, a teacher in academia, a doctor of philosophy, or a student or authority of religion. In the same way that there are natural laws which control the cosmos portrayed by deists as the laws of nature, and nature's God Jesus was very much a deist. See, what is called the law of octaves works as the osmosis. This ability to perceive from a number of different perspectives enables him to intellectually draw upon a number of different and greatly varied solutions that are necessary to attain the highest objectives and realities. Where the strength of man is expressed in his ability to perceive from different perspectives, it is the spiritual osmosis membrane of the law of octaves that ensures man's ultimate enlightenment by virtue of ensuring wholeness. This inherent ability of the process is demonstrated in the 90th chapter of the Gospel of the Nazarenes, where it is stated. In clarification, did Jesus have 12 disciples? Jesus had many followers and disciples, but the number 12 represents an important reality within the natural laws of consciousness that each person, as they evolve to a higher level of intellectual maturity, must become aware of. Therefore, in order to assist the seeker through the levels of greater intellectual maturity, the scriptures allegorically present the 12 spheres of mind as actual disciples who were appointed to Jesus by God. Why? Because the patterns of the natural laws exist on each level of consciousness, and it is important for the seeker to be able to relate what is true on the physical, also being true on the level of mind, and also being true on the spiritual level of mind. The basis of these patterns begin in what is portrayed as the divine pattern that is replicated into every level of creation. From an esoteric perspective, this is often portrayed as the law of three and the law of seven, both of which exist within what can be portrayed as the law of octaves. The law of three is representative of the Trinity, which is the foundation of consciousness as manifest in positive/male/father, the opposite polarity of negative/female/mother, and the third force offspring as manifest in logos/word/mind and Son of God. And it is therefore imperative to understand who the Trinity, or law of three, is holographically replicated into every level of consciousness, mind and being. Therefore, in order to understand the consciousness and reality of God and man, It is necessary to understand the divine pattern or cosmology of mind that is replicated into every level of being. On a physical level, the mental pattern is allegorically portrayed as 12 signs of the zodiac, 12 tribes of Israel, and the 12 tribes of Jesus. And as the seeker begins to mentally and spiritually advance into a higher level of maturity, they begin to understand that the mind of man has 12 independent spheres that each sees and understands from a different and sometimes opposite perspective, thereby enabling man to attain a higher elevated level of perceptive consciousness. And it is this pattern of mind that enables man to attain and gain in a higher knowledge that is often portrayed as enlightenment. In the allegorical portrayal, where the Torah or Old Testament portrays the 12 spheres of mind as tribes, thereby existing in an immature state of confusion and limited intellectual ability, the Gospels portray the 12 spheres of mind as singular that are functioning together as disciples, allegorically portraying an intellectual level of wholeness, completion, and enlightenment. The limitations of organic human consciousness cannot be overcome. So long as a person perceives and understands what they see in this world from the perspective of a single point of a fragmented mind, those people who are attached to the male or female opposing columns of the tree of life are portrayed as being nourished by the fruit of duality that brings death. Because without the joining of the opposite polarities of male and female, no advancement can be accomplished. Thus, the opposite polarities of duality are overcome and expanded. When the division and duality of mind is overcome, each point of consciousness within the pattern of mind as portrayed in the diagram of the tree of life has its opposite polarity perspective that is its opposite half. And when the duality is overcome, only then can growth and development be accomplished. All advancement is the product of bringing two divided halves together in the third force balance, which has been raised up and evolved. Which means that wholeness and advancement is not a consensus of opposites, but rather, a joining of halves through the raising up of the third force offspring of the opposites that were brought together. As stated in the parable of the crystal, the divine pattern of mind and creation, our impressions and thoughts are carried upon bioenergy that can be portrayed as cognitive energy and measured in EKG and EEG machines. This bioenergy originates in wholeness from our source in our higher soul self, which is a being of light. It is divided across the seven spiritual centers or chakras. As this cognitive energy moves out into our own mind, and then acted upon in the 12 spheres of mind as patterned in the tree of life, which means that this cognitive energy enters into us in wholeness, and cannot enter the center or the pattern and workings of the mind can be likened and observed in the pattern and functioning of the heart. The heart has four chambers. The upper two chambers are the atria, and the lower two chambers are the ventricles, see figure A at right. The chambers are separated by a wall of tissue called the septum. Blood is pumped through the chambers, aided by four heart valves. The valves open and close to let the blood flow in only one direction. What is important in order to understand the relationship of the pattern of the heart and the pattern of the mind is the fact that the blood must move equally through the four parts of the heart in order for the body to function properly. Therefore, unless the four parts or chambers of the one heart are working and functioning together, then the whole of the heart is gravely impacted. The two halves of the heart can be likened to the male and female spheres of mind as patterned in the outer columns of the tree of life. The upper two atria chambers, therefore, can be portrayed as man's higher spiritual / heavenly aspects of mind, with the upper heavenly chambers divided across the spectrum of the male and female polarity halves. The lower two ventricle chambers can be portrayed as the opposite earthly half of the upper heavenly, again, divided across the spectrum of the male and female polarity halves. And therein lies the problem with respect to evolving the mind beyond organic consciousness, as seen in the fact that the two halves and the upper atriums and lower ventricles cannot function without their opposite half. The development and functioning of the lower, earthly, ventricles is totally dependent upon receiving blood from the upper, heavenly, atriums, both of which are totally dependent upon the interaction of the left/right male/female opposites functioning together as one. In the case of the pattern of mind, the development of the lower earthly spheres of mind are totally dependent upon their opposite half and exchange of cognitive energy in the upper heavenly half of the mind, both of which are reliant upon the right and left male and female polarities/spheres of mind to bring the cognitive energy into the center, where the as the spiritual osmosis membrane. The law of octaves will block unwhole or unbalanced cognitive bioenergy from entering into the if only one of the chambers of the heart was functioning. The whole of the heart would be negatively impacted. The same is true with respect to the four gates of the mind as patterned in the Cathar cross. because the one mind is divided or, like the heart, it is segmented. The mind cannot evolve beyond organic limitations on the impressions of the earthly spheres of mind that are lacking the input and balance of the opposite half in the heavenly spheres of mind, all of which can only grow and evolve the mind of the person beyond organic limitations. When the male and female polarities of mind are functioning together to channel the merged earthly slash heavenly impressions or thoughts into the center, enabling the impressions to be channeled through the mind of man is divided and segmented by four major divisions that are paradoxical opposite halves to each other, with each of these opposites being themselves comprised of trained paradoxical opposites that each consist of a positive and a negative opposite polarity, and a third force balance that can be portrayed as the offspring of the positive slash male and negative slash female spheres of mind, all of which manifest the 12 spheres of mind that comprise the tree of life, that is, the 12 spheres portrayed in the words. What is called the law of octaves is the vibratory frequency of the natural laws that tests every thought for wholeness. If the thought or impression is missing one of the four segments, then the thought does not contain the necessary balance to spawn growth and development. The words the Gospels direct you in this life to. If it is true that the soul develops over the course of many lives, then why can't everyone recall their soul's previous lives? The fact of the matter is that all people can develop the ability to recall their soul's previous lives, but that requires dedication to living in accord with the core original gospel teachings, which means that only those impressions and thoughts that are balanced and whole and therefore are able to grow and evolve the mind and consciousness of the person are able to pass through the narrow gate and provide nourishment for the mind to stimulate the process of mental expansion and spiritual deepening. In the same way that impurities cannot flow through the membrane of a reverse osmosis filter system, neither can impressions and thoughts that lack balance and wholeness pass through the narrow gate in the center of the mind. And in the same way that the impurities in a reverse osmosis system are diverted outside and are washed out of the system, the bioenergy of the thoughts and impressions that lack balance and wholeness are expelled out of your physical consciousness without spawning mental growth and development. See the consciousness of the earth, which in the parable of the prodigal son is portrayed as the citizen of the far country, which earth consciousness is often worshipped as the gods of this world, are dependent upon maintaining man's carnal consciousness to feed off the expelled bioenergy. The more that a person can utilize this bioenergy in the expansion of their own mind, the less of this energy is expelled into nature. And when a person begins to develop mentally and spiritually and draws other seekers to him, the group very quickly becomes as a disease to the consciousness of the earth and is then opposed and stamped out in the same manner that the body of a person fights an invading virus. What is being portrayed is the plight of organic man in this world, who is very much as an original sin and spiritual osmosis. When rightly understood, what is portrayed as original sin is not biblical. It is not an inherited condition of sin that was committed by a man named Adam and a woman named Eve, who are part of each person's distant family tree, but rather, when rightly understood, it is a condition that each man and woman is born into that provides mankind the opportunity for growth, development, wholeness, and perfection. See, the name and concept of original sin was imported into Christianity directly from the Great Qs. What this means is that every person who professes to believe in the teachings of Jesus must decide for themselves if they believe they are exempt from this important teaching because it was removed from the copies of the Gospels, which the church promotes. What this means is that each modern Christian has been confronted with a crucial question. Do they really believe in the gospel teachings? And if this is what Jesus taught, a teaching that has been portrayed as original sin that must be resolved, does it matter if the Christian actually follows the teaching of Jesus? Which means that every Christian has also been confronted by the question, has the gospel teachings been corrupted? In view of the fact that it can be proven that a teaching that was embraced by first century Christians is totally absent today, this is a crucial question for each and every person to answer, which of course raises the question, has this teaching been preserved anywhere else? The answer is yes. In the 4th century, the Emperor Constantine took over the church. He ordered the corruption of the biblical texts, the destruction of conflicting biblical texts, and he ordered those Christians who refused to embrace the religion of the emperor to be hunted down as heretics. Quoting the historian Edward Gibbon, with the edict to destroy the biblical texts and hunt down the spiritual Christians who rejected the religion of the emperor, a council among the Ebionite Nazarenes and the spiritual, Gentile, Christians was convened. And it was decided that the gospel teachings were so important that 7 libraries of scriptures would be hidden away and preserved for future generations. See with respect to the seven libraries. Two of them have been recovered, and both contain what is known as the Gospel of Thomas. See. Original sin is representative of a condition of birth, a condition that every man and woman is born into by the nature of their physical bodies, and the condition portrays a reality that the natural laws has brought about in order to benefit each person. Jesus portrayed the scriptures as the notice that Origen, who is acclaimed to be the fact that Jesus taught the path for others to follow that would open and enlighten their minds to man's higher spiritual reality. What is it that cannot be conveyed to organic man? What is our true nature and reality? When questioned, if how can the entire human race? Under the heading of original sin, the Wikipedia states, every man and woman is born into this world to bring about a higher reality of mental and spiritual advancement. What can be portrayed as original sin is not in the below subheading entitled The Universal Source of Knowledge. I present the quotation of the Apostle Peter, who agreed with the Church Father Origen and warned with respect to our interpretation of the scriptures. It is impossible to understand the reality that is presented in the concept of original sin if we attempt to read the scriptures from a literal/historical interpretation. The primary question that must be posed is, what intelligent being with superintelligence would hold one person responsible for the sin of another person, even punishing them forever in what is portrayed as the fires of hell? Quoting from a pamphlet by the Roman Catholic Church on the fires and suffering of hell, in the homilies of his disciple Clement, the Apostle Peter portrays the scriptures as the while there exists an important answer to these questions. Because of the corruption of the church doctrine and the scriptures, it is virtually impossible for the modern believer to understand the gospel with any real depth. So, it can be said that the faith-based religion of the church has in fact been promoted under a self-imposed vow of ignorance. And when rational thinkers questioned the often irrationality and required suspension of reason that was championed by Martin Luther, they were condemned as heretics. By embracing the doctrine of original sin as promoted by the Church of Rome, Luther condemned himself to the embodiment of spiritual ignorance as seen when he condemned the very gift of reason that separates man from the brute beasts of the earth that is reason, writes Luther. When the scriptures are turned within your own mind and used as the key of knowledge, see, what is portrayed is the fact that it was not the distant ancestors of mankind named Adam and Eve who ate the fruit of the tree of duality, but what is allegorically portrayed as Adam and Eve that exists within each person's own mind and consciousness. When the scriptures are understood as an allegorical blueprint of your own mind, with each of us experiencing the division of male and female as allegorically portrayed in the separation of Adam/male and Eve/female, only then can the concept of original sin be understood from a rational and intellectually functional perspective, which provokes the question, what is truly being mentally and spiritually portrayed in the creation account of Genesis? A most important teaching is found in the Gospel of Philip in the words, in the allegorical Genesis account, what we see is the separation into divided halves of the male and female polarities of mind. Half the mind remained with a male or Adam, and the other half became Eve or female. It is important to remain cognizant of the reality portrayed in the blueprint of mind wholeness, wherein those mental abilities associated with the male polarity became dominant in the male half of the divided genders, while the mental abilities associated with the female polarity became dominant in the female half of the divided genders. And in the same way that an embryo can only be formed with the joining of the male sperm and female ovum, the same is true with respect to the pattern of development of the mind of man. What is allegorically portrayed as the fall of man and the separation of male and female aspects of mind within your own mind, which is necessary to bring about the transformative process of growth and development? Does this mean that traditional marriage is the answer to the separation? No, because what is portrayed in the scriptures is the division of male and female within your own mind and consciousness. Therefore, the fact that a person is physically married does not satisfy the restoral of what is personified as Adam and Eve within you. And yet, man and woman can embrace a divine marriage where the two halves are brought together as each person is born into this world in the divided reality as man and woman. Why? If this divided condition of mind must be overcome? Thus, a long-ignored statement is seen in the words. Was this process of restoral and birth the foundation of the original gospel teachings? That this process of restoration and birth was a core gospel teaching in the first century prior to the gospels being corrupted by the church is easily demonstrated and proven in a quotation from the second epistle of Clement, where he wrote to the Christian congregations. It is important to recognize that when Clement wrote the above teaching in his epistle to a congregation of Christians, he did so in the expectation that the people to whom he was writing would understand the great truths he was presenting to them, that the kingdom or end times would and could only come when our soul or true self dwells in a 12-dimensional higher reality wherein the polarities of positive/male and negative/female are self-contained, and as a being of pure intellectual energy, see, does not have a gender or race. And therein lies the problem as seen in the fact that all growth and development is brought about through the interactions of opposites, and in this three-dimensional realm. We are born as one or the other polarity of male or female, and original sin is the failure to bring the male and female trees of duality into the center of the tree of life. When our divided reality of mind is recognized and each of us has the ability to unite with our opposite and overcome our limitations and division, it can properly be portrayed as the original sin that as a divided man or woman that each person is born into, we have the potential to overcome and prevail over our birth into duality. Further, in this respect, we can correctly portray the original gospel teachings of Jesus as the means to heal and overcome the original sin of division and duality. But this is only true if we follow and embrace the teachings of Jesus by doing as he taught, by picking up our own cross and travailing in the way. See the cross you must bear to your own crucifixion. Only when the spiritual meaning of the crucifixion and the cross is understood and applied daily to every thought and action can the duality of original sin be negated in the life of the person. Therefore, when Jesus said, wholeness is achieved by connecting consciousness, overcoming the duality of male and female, overcoming the duality of our earthly self and our higher soul self, and ultimately connecting the consciousness of ourself with the indwelling logos/word/mind/Son of God. The original objective of the scriptures is to achieve this inner wholeness. As presented at the call to the wedding banquet, what is portrayed as the wedding garment is in reality the preparatory transformation necessary to initiate the process of connecting of consciousness in pursuit of overcoming man's inherent inner division and duality. Mankind is the fourth kingdom that is the balance between the upper three heavenly kingdoms and the lower three earthly kingdoms, which must be unified and brought into the center by the male and female realities of mind as personified in the image of the pattern of the tree of life as portrayed at the right and explored at. The tree of duality is then the division of male/Adam and female/Eve, and the division of the upper heavenly and the lower earthly kingdoms. And having been born divided as either a male or female, each person has inherited this duality that they must overcome as personified in the formula and the teaching preserved in the Gospel of Thomas. See, when Jesus taught that does everyone need Jesus as the modern Christian maintains? Do Christians achieve salvation by merely calling on the name of the Lord? While Jesus himself said that those who had achieved wholeness did not need him as a spiritual physician, that is. Thus, the all-important question, what, then, are you connecting in the above teaching of Jesus? You are connecting the person you are in this world with your inner eternal soul self by connecting the lower self of the three earthly kingdoms with your higher self of the upper three heavenly kingdoms. And this is accomplished by the male and opposite female spheres of mind coming together to overcome the duality of mind of the ego self that inhibits the transformative process of mental expansion and spiritual deepening. And when rightly understood, all of life can be defined as an opportunity to connect consciousness in pursuit of acquiring the vision and perception that provides us the experiential knowledge that brings about growth and development of mind. When Jesus explained to his disciples why he was able to speak differently to them than he did with the multitudes of people who came to hear him, he stated, when rightly understood, the whole of the gospel teachings is focused on the process of connecting in consciousness in pursuit of overcoming mankind's own inherent inner duality that caused the lost prodigal son to dwell, and the consciousness requires energy, or bioenergy, vital life force upon which consciousness manifests. Energy requires a positive/male and negative/female polarity that is brought together to manifest the third force of consciousness. Our true or higher soul self is a being of light, because it is a 12-dimensional being wherein the polarities of male/female are self-contained. What does self-contained mean? It means that the polarities of male and female are functioning together within the one in a similar fashion, as the two sides of the heart perform together to flawlessly move life-giving blood throughout the whole body. In the same way that the contraction of the two atrium chambers of the heart initiate the contraction in the ventricles of the heart, in this divided reality, every action initiates a reactive action in its opposite polarity. which from the higher perspective of mankind, wherein the pattern of the complexity of mind is manifest in the pattern of the tree of life. It means that every word and every action you make initiates an opposite polarity action that must be E-balanced, I-N-T-H-E center O-F-T-H-E tree O-F life. When balance and wholeness is achieved, then growth and development is brought about. When the active and reflective opposites cannot be balanced within one's own self, then the action becomes externalized, which in the parable of the prodigal son is portrayed as the squandering away of the inheritance on our soul cannot directly incarnate into this three-dimensional world. Because the higher 12 dimensions of consciousness that polarities of male and female cannot be manifest in a self-contained physical body. And this is why in the allegorical account of Genesis, mankind would be represented as Adam Eve with Eve, negative polarity, representing one half of the mind that was drawn from the side of Adam, positive polarity, portraying a condition of a divided whole. Why? Why was the mind of the soul divided in half, with each half seeing and understanding all of mankind's reality from an opposite and very different perspective? Because our true self, our higher soul self, is a being of light, see, that dwells in a 12-dimensional realm where the polarities of male and female are self-contained. And it is this higher soul self that is the true being that we are, as portrayed in the adage to know thyself, see, that is, as stated in the Gospel of Thomas, I regard consciousness as fundamental. I regard matter as derivative from consciousness. We cannot get behind consciousness. Everything that we talk about, everything that we regard as existing, postulates consciousness. Max Planck, originator of quantum theory, which revolutionized human understanding of atomic and subatomic processes, Nobel Prize in Physics in 1918. Isaac Newton, key figure in the scientific revolution, laid the foundations of classical mechanics, formulated the laws of motion and universal gravitation that formed the dominant scientific viewpoint, widely recognized as one of the most influential scientists of all time. Nikola Tesla, electrical engineer, mechanical engineer, physicist, considered one of the greatest inventors in history, sometimes regarded as the most outstanding genius of all time. Einstein once called him the most intelligent person on the planet. We have to recognize that we are spiritual beings with souls existing in a spiritual world, as well as material beings with bodies and brains existing in a material world. At our death, the brain goes, but divine guidance and love continues. Science and religion are very much alike. The appearance of a conflict is a result of ignorance. I maintain that the human mystery is incredibly demeaned by scientific reductionism, with its claim in promissory materialism to account eventually for all of the spiritual world in terms of patterns of neuronal activity. This belief must be classed as a superstition. John Caro-Eccles, neurophysiologist who won the 1963 Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine for his work on the synapse. Which provokes the question, what is being projected? Thus, the statement by astronomer James Jeans, what this means is that what appears to be concrete matter is merely a vibrational frequency of generated thought that your holographic brain interprets as concrete physical matter. And because the source that is generating the image is beyond your brain's perceptive spectrum of frequencies, you are unable to perceive the source of the appearances you are seeing that you erroneously interpret as concrete physical matter. But what this also means is that your physical body is a projected thought from an unseen source that lies beyond the perception of the holographic frequencies associated with our physical self, which gives an entirely new meaning to the ancient wisdom to know thyself. What the emerging body of science indicates is that each of us is actually a thought that is being generated and projected in this world, often portrayed as the ego self, and that our true self is not manifest in our physical body, because it dwells in the reality of an unseen causal field. In like manner, physicist and Nobel Prize winner John Archibald Wheeler stated that if our process of educating children and students develop the outward-looking aspects of the mind exclusively as modern academia is presently doing while suppressing the development of the inward-looking aspects of mind, then academia is inflicting intellectual harm on the student. Wholeness of mental development is necessary to retrieve knowledge from the inner unseen source self. Therefore, the question must be asked, what have we accomplished when our system of education atrophies our ability to tap into the inner source of self? And therein lies the problem, as seen in the fact that our body of intellectuals who control academia have been so fractured in their one-sided development, wherein they can't tolerate even embracing the language of mysticism and the concepts that embrace man's spirituality, that their linear thinking has erected a wall that inhibits their development, unless it is presented to them in their linear terms of thinking that is in fact disenfranchising their higher development of mind through any degree of wholeness. By demanding that their intuitive spheres of mind interact on a linear perspective, they remain incapable of advancing beyond their empty rhetoric. Even when you attempt to explain that the intuitive inward-looking spheres of mind cannot develop and function in the linear outward environment, attempting to explain that the writing of mystics is designed to enable the person to access the inner source of knowledge, and that the language and mythology of the scriptures is not designed to be understood by the linear spheres of mind, see the purpose of the scriptures. This same group of intellectuals that teach our children and students in academia simply refuse to even investigate the facts presented to them. Clement Scriptures. In the homilies of Clement, the Apostle Peter is quoted as warning with respect to reading and understanding the scriptures,